Two nights ago, I saw a new film called Boyhood by Richard Linklater. The film is making waves for the fact that it was filmed over the course of 12 years and chronicles the real aging of its characters. Now, this is not a recommendation necessarily to go and see the film, but rather an opportunity to talk about the main character. We meet this young boy as he's entering elementary school, and we follow him through high school up to the beginning of college. This young boy man is a sober character and a watcher of the world. What connects him to the topic today, which is wholeness, is that as this young boy man grows up, he doesn't appear to wall himself off from the harsher realities, expectations, or judgments of the world. Nor does it try to turn him into something that he's not because he wants to fit in. And remarkably, he is not pressured by his parents to do so. He is a creative doer, as my Scottish grandmother would say, young man, unambitious to fall into lockstep with the society that he finds himself in. He is remarkably true to himself. It is the exceptional person who manages to grow up without needing to put up walls of protection between oneself and the outer world. I think most people need to negotiate the divide between their inner self and the outer world. I think that part of our work as adults who want to live in integrity with ourselves, our work is to reconnect the divisions that we created out of necessity as we grew up. Let's do a small demonstration. If you take your order of service or one of the pieces of paper in front of you or in your hands, and just hold it up in front of you between me and you. So I want you to know that I am taking my inspiration today from the work of Parker Palmer's Hidden Wholeness, A Journey Toward an Undivided Self. So there you've got something. You can't see me. The part that faces the world, that's facing me, represents the part of you that the world interacts with. It is your image, your influence, your impact. It is who you want the world to see. As Parker Palmer says, it is your on-stage part. The other side of the paper, the side that you're looking at, is your backstage self, your inner self. It is all that the world cannot see. It's the world of feelings and thoughts, imagination and dreaming, inspiration and creativity, your values and ideals, all that is behind that curtain. You can put it down now. We call this inner part our spirit, our soul, our higher wisdom, our true self. So this is the wall, this piece of paper between the onstage self and the backstage self. And as I said, the wall begins for some of us in our early years because we've been born into a family that for whatever reason cannot support or accept our whole selves. By the time we enter the school system, we all begin to need the wall. My youngest daughter had a challenging time negotiating her inner life and the outer world. Her grade 2 teacher told me this story. One day, the bell rang at the end of the morning recess time, and all the children returned to their classroom, except my daughter Lucy. And after a bit, the teacher realized that Lucy was missing, and so she went looking for her. And she found Lucy out in the playground, all by herself. "Lucy," she said, "you have to come back inside now and join the others. Recess is over." And Lucy's answer was simple and direct and true to her inner self. She said, "But I haven't finished playing yet." Now, this 7-year-old was pretty clear about what she needed to do. Based on her inner life, her life of play and imagination, but the outer world of those school rules and the outer world needs of managing many children that require a structured time of activities superseded her world. Now, at the time, Lucy had a fabulously wise teacher who did not shame her or punish her for her innocent and natural expression of her inner self. And as we know, this is not always so. If you are created whole and transgendered, if you are created whole and gay, or creative, or autistic, or any number of variations of talent and identity that is outside the statistical norm, it is likely that you will have more cause to close the curtain between that inner life and the outer world. Many need that extra protection against the demands of a harsh world. Some become rebels, adept at fighting for their space and identity, or orphans lost in the gulf of unmet needs. Or some build fake shells of themselves that show the world what the world wants to see and hide deeper and deeper inside their true self. The dividing of ourselves is an act of survival, made both consciously and unconsciously. We need to fit into our families at some level. We need to fit into our communities, into our work worlds, our culture. We may feel that need to build a career, raise a family, and so put away the parts of ourselves that may not agree. When I was an acting teacher, teaching at Langara's or through Langara College's continuing education department, it was not unusual in the weekend workshop to hear from a participant that they had always wanted to be an actor, but they had felt that they had to get a real job, that they had to come to a point, but they then came to a point in their real job where they began to be aware that they felt uncomfortable, distressed, deadened, maybe not their real selves, maybe not fully alive or lost or unhappy or maybe just restless. I heard all of those. Now, Simon Lowe was one such student. He wanted to be an actor when he was young, but being creative was not what was acceptable in his family. It wasn't a real job. Simon, not his real name, but a very real person, was very intelligent, and he trained in the sciences and got a great, highly paid job that made his family very proud of him. And he was miserable. Finally, after about 10 years, and with a high degree of internal tension between what he longed to do and what was expected of him, Simon signed up for a weekend acting class. And he was so incredibly happy. And he was a wonderful actor. And he was terribly torn between the expectations of his family and his own inner yearnings. He made a hard decision. And he went on to complete a full professional training program and started a second successful career. Now, not all of us can make that decision. I also had many people in the class who had finished their first careers, had retired, and now were allowing themselves to do what their inner selves had always wanted to do. And like Simon, many of us hear that inner voice grumbling for attention, or we may notice the symptoms of not listening to it. We might notice a little depression, a little rage or lethargy that may not have a medical root. We may feel a hunger that is not satisfied by food. We may feel dissatisfied in our work or uncomfortable in our lifestyle. We may sense an indescribable emptiness. Or we may begin to pay attention, and we may notice that we have perhaps recurring dreams that call us, call out that part of us kept deep inside. We may be drawn to reading books about people who are listening to their inner selves, imagining ourselves doing the same. We may feel an urge to take a class or start a project, or dig a garden, or clean out a drawer even. Now, there are many ways to ignore, deny, and bury away that inner voice. Not only is it often a gentle voice, but it can be a shy voice that easily runs away when confronted by the changing, shouting, rattling voices and demands of the outer world. The culture that we find ourselves in today is a divided culture. The demands on our time and the pressures to ignore our inner selves can be overwhelming. The encouragement, if not the societal manipulations to devalue our inner truth, is real and ought to be concerning. Leonard Cohen has a line from his song, The Future. It goes like this. The blizzard of the world has crossed the threshold, and it's overturned the order of the soul. If you've ever been in a blizzard, you'll know that as well as the extreme cold, the strong winds, and the whiteout of the swirling snow, the dangerous part of the blizzard is losing one's sense of direction. In the old days, and maybe not so old days, on the prairies, the farmer, he would set up a rope between his back door and the barn so that when the blizzard came, the farmer could hang on to that rope and get himself to the barn, take care of the animals, and get himself back again without getting disoriented and getting lost. It was a matter of survival. A blizzard is energy. A blizzard is a force, an overwhelming force that threatens our very survival, that threatens the integrity of our being, the integrity of our wholeness. The blizzard of the world is a blizzard of demands for our thoughts and feelings, even our imagination and our values. What Leonard Cohen is saying is that this is happening to us today. We are lost in the blizzard of the world. The world has crossed the threshold, and we have lost that lifeline, that guiding rope to our inner lives. The lives of dreaming and yearning, searching and wondering. The part of ourselves that hunger for truth and justice and for deep, real love. The part of us that, if we reconnected to it, if we heard it, we would likely reject a great deal of the exploitative consumer culture. If we only accept the values of this consumer society, allowing these values to overwhelm that quiet inner voice, we will remain divided and lost. We are divided from ourselves when our actions are not in alignment with those values and ideals. We are divided from our inner truth when we define ourselves by exterior or external criteria. We are divided from ourselves when we do not speak our truth for fear of another's disagreement or criticism. We are divided from ourselves when we work at jobs that violate our basic values. We are divided when we stay in relationships where we are not safe to speak our minds or our heart's desire. We are divided from ourselves when we give more of our time and energy than we have, when we don't listen to the inner voice of wisdom that says, slow down, rest, play. Or when we ignore the voice of our soul, when it prompts us to dance in the moonlight, or paint a tower of despair, or sing out our gratitude for all that we have. Many in this world are divided in their wholeness. Doctors who are dismissive of their patients, politicians who lie to voters, executives who spend other people's money without accountability, teachers who disrespect the children, people who can speak good words, ethical words, but who in practice separate their actions from their words. They've learned to compartmentalize themselves. How else is it possible to live with oneself and still function unless one has built a huge wall between the two? I believe this division is an illness of our time. We are unwell and weakened when we separate ourselves from our soul's knowledge. So let me tell you how to find the rope in the blizzard so that you can get connected back to what's important. Come to church. I'm serious, though. Connect to a community that will remind you of your whole self, that will challenge you to listen to your soul and act from its wisdom. Connect to people and communities that will respect you and forgive you and support you in your journey to reconnect to your soul. Connect yourself to communities and people who hold similar values to yours so that you are reinforcing the threshold between the inner and outer world. Give of yourself to causes, communities, and relationships that align with your ideals and dreams. Hold yourself to account for the things that you say and do. Listen to the inner voice in you that yearns for something big, and I don't mean objects here, I mean ideals. Listen to the voice inside that yearns for peace, that yearns for a healthy earth, that yearns for relationships that are respectful and trustworthy and real. Pay attention to your dreams, both the daytime and the nighttime. Fast. Fast from fast things and technology, perhaps. Slow down, breathe. Connect to nature. Walk in the woods on a silent night. Dig in your garden and smell the earth. Howl at the moon. Swim in the ocean. Dance in the rain. When we begin to spend an equal amount of time listening to our inner world as much as our outer world, that blizzard will calm down and we will retrieve our sense of direction, and our lives will be transformed. Integrity means the state and quality of being entire, complete, whole. Integrity means, on a very simple level, that the inner and the outer are connected. What I think and feel inside me, I speak and act on in the world. But here's the beauty of it all. The truth is, there is no complete outside or complete inside. Rather, there is, if you can let that wall down or punch some holes in it or soften it up, there is a natural flow between the two. For the two are actually one whole, an undivided peace. And that is us. It's how we have been created as human beings. and may it be so.